Good evening once again. This is the 15th of December in the year 2015. This is Tools for the Times. My name is Mark Stanton Welch. We are on Block 3, Session 6. The topic tonight is Sacred Sounds. So, as an introduction to Sacred Sounds, I had originally thought that it was really going to be just related to vocal and the vocalizations and the sounds that we can make. But as I approached it and as I actually started working with it here over the last 3 days was to realize that it's oh so much more. And yet our focus, as you'll see in a lot of these, is about what we are consciously doing with the voice. Some of the additional information that I'll put in has to do with the additional sounds that exist. But for all intents and purposes, when we are in our power and we're able to actually engage the voice, the cleaner and the more energetically sound that voice is, the more potent it can be in terms of, one, keeping us in a place of balance, and two, making manifest all that we desire, and also being the tool for communication in the multidimensional realms, especially here on this planet, but also in other ways. So sacred sounds, meaning that they are very special and very holy, there is a lot that has gone on for thousands and thousands and even beyond that, hundreds of thousands of years prior to our recognized time when civilization began, because sound, as we hear over and over, is the foundation of the cosmos. And the vibrations and oscillations that make up the love frequency, which is the foundational format for all things, is potent indeed. The sounds themselves that come out of those of that frequency are the very building blocks of all the forms that exist in the cosmos. Therefore, they are more than just sacred. I mean, is there a word? Is there a word that can describe the potency and the foundational frequencies of this? I don't think so. But for tonight's call, we have sacred sounds. And we're going to look at some of the ways in which that unfolds. I have a topic called Why Sounds, Its Energetic and Physical Impact. That section is incomplete at the moment. And it is because I want it to be more about the experience and the exercises tonight as opposed to the information. So I will flesh that out, and it may be something that we don't look at until we deal with it next week, if indeed that happens. But let me just say, as we've established in the format of how we are as a living, breathing being, especially in this particular dimension, being based on vibration, being a being of sound and expression, being receptive to vibration and using our listening and hearing mechanism, we are completely immersed in the idea and the experience and the playing out of how sound moves to and from us. The energetic and physical impact of sound is that it actually does work on the cells. The cells are connected with vibration, and therefore the vibration that comes in and is also created within ourselves are the tools of transformation, the tools of cleansing, of healing, of making happen, of bringing back to balance, of power, all of those elements and more. So I think that's all I'm going to say on that. And we will get back to it more next week as that begins to unfold in terms of what it is that I intended to say with that. Because there's some specific things. I got a couple new books that I'm feverishly moving through on the Kindle and working to bring in a couple new elements about the nature of sound as its energetic and physical impact. So that's one of the reasons that's incomplete. So we have the power of vowels and consonants that I have started, and it's a bit incomplete. We have emotion, vocalizing, and toning. We have chants, mantras, intentional songs. We have harmonics and overtones. We have Atlantean, Tibetan, and Chinese sacred sounds. We have the sound of nature. We have the language of light, and we have the Kabbalah and the names of God that are functioning elements of our program tonight, except for I just put my cursor over the Kabbalah and the found the names of God, and I see that that one is not functioning. So I'm rushing back to set the link for this. So let me do that. Give me a breath. And while we're doing that, I'm going to invite us to go to an element that we've used many, many, many times in our work together. And that's back to one of the most sacred elements that we carry with us and are capable of sounding, and that's our birth name. So I'm going to invite us to go back there. I called it the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah and the names for God. I like that. That's a new phrase of that. But what I'm inviting us to do is to go back to that very sacred place, state that name, and it'll put us in a beautiful foundation for the experience tonight. And by the way, I hope you're in a place where you can make sound tonight. If you're sitting in the room with all the kids around, or if you're in front of that picture window and everybody's looking in, then they're in for a show. They're in for an experience tonight. So on the count of three, I invite you to speak that true name, that very sacred of all names, your birth name, first, middle, and last. 1, 2, 3. Mark Stanton Welch, 7 times. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 And so it is. And so it is. Once again, as we speak that name, we call forth our divine design, our energetic template for being here in this particular dimension. It also calls in the guidance and the of those beings aligned to our frequency. It puts us in a cocoon of safety. All of those wonderful things just by the use of the words themselves and the speaking of those words. It's just so exciting. And when I look at the history of what the Great Compromise has been, so often you look at dis-ease, you look at medical challenges, you look at cultures, you look at people giving up their power, so much of it has been related to the use of sound and the use of the voice, where it was either compromised, not supported, lawed against, forbidden. You name it, it has been a real way that people have been subjugated. And if you look at strictly your own personal life, then you start to see all the pieces that were not allowed to express, they're coming back, especially in these times, to find expression. Now, the beauty is that, again, in these times, it's all about the energy and the expression of the energy. And we will see right away, and I think I have talked about this, is that the use of sound as opposed to word, especially related to emotion, is way more potent and powerful because it's strictly raw and pure. When we lost the capacity or were taught not to do this as infants and as young children to stop being vocal and to stop vocalizing and working with our vocal mechanism and our breath and our sounding and our connection with the cellular structure and the capacity to cleanse the body and keep it in a very balanced place. When we were separated from that, that's when dis-ease began. And whether you want to call it physical dis-ease, emotional dis-ease, mental, or even spiritual, most of those are based in those times and those unexpressed words and elements. So the beauty of now is that it really is just about expression. And again, expressing the sound. The issues, the actual occurrences are less important than the actual movement of the vibration. So every sound uttered under that idea is a sacred sound. In other words, it's holy, it's blessed, it has the capacity to elevate vibration, it is healing, it is all those things, but mostly it requires that we actually begin to make the sound. So, let's go down to, and you may need to refresh the page in order to get the Kabbalah and the names of God that is available, because I believe that is where I want to start. Let's go there. Okay, here's what I said here. The ancient god names are specific signals, signals that can be used to call upon aspects of the one divine force throughout the universe. They are each specific characteristics, particular manifestations of the divine that we can call on intentionally. They open us to levels of consciousness that can facilitate manifesting the corresponding energies into our circumstances. In other words, we're calling forth for certain energies and characteristics to become available to us, in us, and through us. This kind of goes back to our session on DNA, where we began to expand and realize that our programming and our receptivity to vibration and the multidimensional energy that exists is that we are able to call in elements that were previous lives, future lives. We call in characteristics and apply them to ourselves to really use them to make manifest very quickly and to learn new skills much more quickly than the old Piscean model, which meant go to school, get a degree, become credentialed, put out a shingle, wait for people to show, all of those elements. I'm not saying that it necessarily will happen overnight as we begin to access these things, but I'm saying that it can happen overnight because of the remarkability of these times. So what I have here are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, looks like 12, 10 or 12. Different names coming from the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah as a sacred text in the Hebrew tradition. We're not here to discuss what it's all about, but to realize that in it, there were very specific references to the utterances of the names of God. And for some, these were forbidden to speak, at least the main one. All these other names were useful in terms of calling in a particular energy. So I have the capitalized spelling of it, and then I have the phonetic pronunciation. There is a pitch that it typically is spoken in. And what we're going to do is follow a sequence here. If you go to the very bottom of that section, it says use correct pronunciation. And it says tone syllable by syllable, giving each equal emphasis. You inhale slowly, vibrate it silently. It's as if we inhale the word, and as it comes in, we are speaking it, but silently. And then as we exhale, we tone it audibly, syllable by syllable, and keep the tone smooth. Humming them is also very powerful. We can try that on a couple of them. But visualizing them traveling through your being and the universe as you exhale. And then we sing them in a sing-song type way, each in a specific frequency tone, and then we repeat for 10 minutes and then sit quietly, bringing attention to what it is you desire by speaking the name as already yours. Awaken the tone within, and then we direct it towards your intention. That's the process behind this. Now, we're not going to do the whole thing tonight, because what this course is about really is bringing you tools, telling you how to work with them, and then letting you work with them. And the hope is that you're actually doing something with these. But first of all, let's have a couple tones. Thank you. Well, I feel better. Just setting some frequencies here, clearing the air, as you will. Those were all sacred sounds. The tingshas, which are the little temple bell kinds of elements from the Tibetan tradition, a Tibetan bowl made of metal. You can easily hear the harmonic structure of it. And then a Native American rattle, all tools of sound that can actually work and clear your vibration. So the first of the Kabbalah names of God here is Ehyeh. Ehyeh. So let me get a pitch in B. And what I'll do is breathe it in. And as I do, I'm kind of just whispering. I'm getting a pronunciation myself. That looks like what it is. Ehyeh. Ehyeh. Let's pause for a moment there. Sorry, it took a moment for the sound to drop in, for the actual pronunciation to make sense. It's calling for greater creativity, calling for final ending information. Not quite sure what that book meant by that. An inner spiritual quest and its causes and attainment. So this is an invitation to go within and find some resources to meet the moment with a creative explosion. Maybe breathe it in. Four more, breathe it in. Go to the second one. It's Yah or Yehovah. You can use, I think we'll use Yehovah because we're going to use that multiple times throughout the course of this exercise. It says, greater personal initiative, a source of energy which puts things in motion. So be thinking of something that you're ready to put in motion. Yah. Okay, so breathe in silently, and then out, Yahovah. Let me find the pitch again. Yahovah. Breathe it in. Silently. Yahovah. Again. Yahovah. We could even be extending the vowels longer if we chose. One more time. Breathe it in. Yahovah. One more like that. Breathe it in. Yahovah. we've already spent time with chakras, and we realize that so many of these sounds, in terms of the vowel itself, is activating and working within one of the chakras because of the phonemes, the phonetics that actually direct the sound towards that chakra. And the ah sound being the one that is in the heart, the O sound at the solar plexus, and again, the Yah-Ho-Va-Va. Interesting when we start slowing things down. Let's go to this Elohim Gabor. So I got a calling coming in here that will buzz a couple more times. Elohim Gabor, about in the middle, about the fifth one down. This is greater energy and courage for tearing down the old forms for change of any kind. So keep that in mind as we go ahead and express this slowly and deliberately with this pitch. Let's do God. Elohim Gabor. Breathe it in. Elohim Gabor. One more time. Slowly. Elohim Gabor. Well, I can really feel that an F sharp vibrating just at the bottom of the throat, at the higher heart chakra, in between the F and the heart and the G of the throat. It's a beautiful vibration. Let's do one more. Greater unselfishness, understanding, principle, disease. Let's go down to the very second to the last one. Shaddai El Hai. Shaddai El Hai. The chai looks like chai tea to me. But it's pronounced Hi. Going down to the pitch of C. Shaddai El Hai. Shaddai El Hai. Breathe it in. For a greater sense of true independence and confidence, greater intuition and psychic ability, mental and emotional health, and understanding and recognition of the tides of change. Shaddai El slowly. Shaddai El Hai. Visualize energizing that coming in and also sending out the intention, sending it out to feed that which you desire in relation to the energy coming in. One more time. Breathe it in. Once again, I invite you, go ahead through this list. Play with these. See how they serve you. Choose one and do it for 10 minutes. Why not? If you don't have the pitch, go ahead and say it in a few different pitches and let the one that resonates with you the most in that moment be the one you choose to stick with during that session. So the names of God, the ineffable, those words spoken to call forth powerful things. Let's go up to the sounds of nature. And let me just give you some information and suggestions of activities for this. Nature is a vibrating world filled with soundings that call directly to us, collectively and individually. The sounds are cleansing, empowering, and inspiring. They align with the five elements and the kingdoms. Some of the sounds are audible, and some of them are felt and more deeply impactful, both physically and psychologically. The best way to experience them, obviously, is to get out into nature. Even in an urban setting, there are parks and places of greater solitude. What follows are some ways to listen to and communicate with nature. So the first one says, go to the ocean. To experience the glorious white noise of the full spectrum waves punctuated by the frequency-based callings of the shorebirds. Add the negative ions that are invigorating and relaxing, and you have the perfect recipe for letting go and getting clear. Secondly, it says running water is a stream, river, waterfall also carries similar nourishment. Listening to the rainfall is a delight in itself. Breathe slowly with the movement of the water and align to the frequencies that speak out to you. And what I mean by that is in any given moment as you hear water, as it moves, it creates different pitches. And sometimes there's a rumble underneath it. Sometimes there are these spatterings and sparklings as puddle or as it hits the ground, as it hits puddles, as it hits off of other elements around like leaves or the front of the car or whatever it's going to be. But just tune into those frequencies. I guess what I'm starting to say here is that all of these sounds have meaning. And the more open to you are to them, the more willing you are to go to nothing is as it seems and realize that there's information coming into you, then the greater the relationship that exists between the two of you. And because of that openness, then more information, more energy, more vibration will come to you. It's just the law. Because the more we open to the relationship of it, the more it gives us, and the more it gives us reason to have relationship. I'll do a couple more of these, because you obviously can read them. But there's some that are very important and very useful. Listening to the blessing of the air as wind. The wind cleanses the auric field and reinvigorates the spirit. Did you know that? Too many people don't like to go out on windy days and just bitch and moan about messing, getting their hair messed up or whatever it's going to be. I've been there. I've done the very same thing. But what's really happening on an energetic level is this. It's pushing through the energy bodies and random volumes and pitches and tempos to shake loose the resistance. And it uses those random volumes and pitches. Isn't it beautiful how that works? And it's just lovely to feel the breeze just as a kiss on you. And knowing that that too is doing something. But when the strong winds comes, there are times when it comes down from the north here on the coast. And I go stand out in an area called the Bluffs. And you can barely, you got to walk at an angle because the winds are so strong. And they're very piercing in terms of their coldness, especially this time of year. But on the, it is just so exhilarating to walk in that, to do it both front and then from the backside, to let that cleansing take place. And I say here, notice how the body feels when it has been pushed about by the wind. And then I invite you to remember to ground with roots going down. It's a companion tool for particularly strong winded times, because that's really necessary. You don't want to get blown off the porch. You know, I like all of these, so let me go ahead and do a couple more. Standing in a forest near a tree in a garden in fields of gold and green lets the deeper soundings of the plant realm infuse your spirit. Each plant carries a frequency and a message. Too often, the weeds are the most powerful medicinals, and they get blasted. So talk to the plants. Make sound with them as they love your washing of carbon dioxide. And treat your houseplants with music and words and touch. Love them, and then they love you back. Ask them questions and wait for answers. Act upon their suggestions. Why not? I don't know how you are with the plant world. There was a period of time long ago when the Secret Life of Plants book came out. And it was, the premise was that the plants actually were responding to the intentions and the energy and the attention of human beings around them. Every plant, I've got multiple versions of the same plant here, philodendrons or something. Maybe I don't know their names. That might help. But they're all a different expression, and they're always reaching out. They're just always reaching out to touch. And I brush by them, and I make connection with them. And yeah, it seems a little goofy from the outside. But when I look at what they're doing for me by creating life in the room and by giving that sustenance to me and blessing me with that beautiful oxygen, the least I can do is go breathe on them. The least I could do is take my garlic-infused breath and then bless them with it. And then taking care of them also reminds me of the importance of nurturing and watering myself. And I don't know if I talked last time about hugging a tree. I know it's so cliche and goofy. But, you know, I'm at an age where it doesn't matter anymore. So I have nothing to prove to anyone or nothing to be concerned about. But I've gone out, really, except for the rainy days here, just been out with my feet on the ground, just grounding myself, bare feet, and hugging trees. Something happens in that process. Something happens with the connection and the awesomeness of that living, and I'll say breathing, organism that is connected so deeply into the earth. I didn't realize this about redwoods. You know, the giant redwoods that are up to 300 feet tall that make beautiful decks, by the way. But the ones that are left standing, you'd think that the root would be a taproot that goes down deep into the earth, like as far as the tree itself is tall on the outside. But they don't. They're very shallow, and what they do is they spread out horizontally, and in a redwood forest, they all entangle one another. And it's the collective support of one another that allows them to have this height and withstand any kind of storm, except for, say, Mount St. Helens, when a blast like that comes through and it really uproots everything. But what a beautiful image of the interrelationship of that community. And then you start thinking of humans, and myself included here, where isolation often is the thing that happens the most. Just saying. Notice the flow of animals in your day. The birds sing melodies for your cells, triggering releases and awakenings if you allow them. The barking of the dogs can cleanse a bit of energetic debris. The purring of a cat can soothe you into calmness. Make the sounds back to the animals. The very act of fluttering the tongue is actually really connecting with the circular meridians, which is the central governing meridian and the triple warmer, I think. The ones that go up the front and back down the back, and they circle over the top of the head, and they meet one at the top of the lip, the top lip under the nose and the other at the spot at the chin, and it's the tongue that creates this connection so that circle of energy moves. This is why so often putting your tongue at the top of your palate is a vehicle of connection, and it allows you to go deeper into meditation or to expand the experience that you're having. And by going, what I'm doing there is hitting that many, many, and multiple times. Having lost a tooth in the backside, it causes some of the air to scoot out, and so my purring is a little bit leaning towards the left. Not that you needed to know that, but I just noticed that. Look what this is doing. Talk to the ones that make the sounds back to the animals, and talk to the ones that come to you. I don't know. There's many mornings I go out and there's a deer right there just grazing on the newly green grass, and they say good morning. And they look, and I talk to them. I'll say some words like, how you doing? Getting enough to eat? What's your plan for the day? Little things like that, and I don't necessarily get answers. But what I do get is their gaze. And sometimes it's a stare. If you've ever been stared at by a deer, it's a pretty powerful thing. Those dark eyes are very potent. I'm just saying, sacred sound is really not necessarily everything that's audible. It's being receptive. It is being also expressive, using sound as well as using hearing and using the vibration to create and to communicate with and to receive messages and to give messages. Finally, I say stand out under the stars at night in a dark area where you can gaze at the infinite expanse. Open to communication. Speak your words of love, of wonder, of intention, or intention out to them. Make up stories about the stars and their creation. Speak them out loud to the stars. Look for the shapes that speak to you and see new constellations and name them. Talk to the moon and express gratitude. Greet the sun with a hello and say good night when she sets. You know, why not? Why not? The status quo would call such things crazy. But what is crazy? Is just not being sucked into a pattern of normalcy? We're too old for that. Anyone who's too old is really like 1 year old is too old for that kind of routine. We are being invited. So find the sacred in nature and find those sounds out there. So I've been talking about language of light for many, many times here and bringing it up, and I want to go ahead and do a 5-minute session of it tonight because I really want it to be of use for you. Here's what I said about it. The language of light is frequency-based soundings that form an energetic language speaking deeply and transformationally to the cells and the energy bodies. It is a trust-based process that allows the opening to the flow of the cosmic guidance. The higher self orchestrates a communication channel, and the receiver simply lets it flow. Doing it for 10 minutes can be a transformational experience. One begins to vocalize, letting inflection and soundings, elongated vowels fenced in by consonants, characters, tempos, and pitches to burst forth. Each is a vibrational frequency that is speaking to your cells and whole being. Clearing, programming, inspiring, engaging, directing, etc. It really is all about getting out of your own way. It may be a useful activity to record your sessions as further listening does further work and inspires deeper connections. Practice it daily and allow yourself to take the journey. It may take you to other times and other lands and bring you in touch with past and future lifetimes. Play with it. Let it serve the greater you. It is a delightful and expansive gift from a loving cosmos. Sacred soundings. Once again, it's just going ahead and just deciding that I'm going to get out of my way and let my tongue and my voice and my breath just do their thing. It can be like being an infant, and we all have had this experience where we just go back and we start to make sounds. And by varying the inflection and by varying the pitch, we are able to actually begin to create moods. And once again, it's not about us creating something. It's about us letting something create through us. So I'm going to set my clock here, my handy device, for 5 minutes. Now, again, that's why I asked you. I hope you're in a place where you can make sound, because this can be very unusual for those around you to hear. But let's just say we're testing the mechanism. I'm just going to play with it. So I'm going to get started. First, I'm going to speak my true name. That way no wayward spirits sneak through me. Ha ha. 1, 2, 3, Mark Stanton Welch, and let's begin.
Yo,
Well, that's 5 minutes. Whew. Man. It created a nice altered state. It felt very interesting. It felt very much like I was just transporting all over, visiting different cultured areas, having conversation, asking, answering, downloading, giving, all of those pieces. And my body feels really light. Body feels kind of buzzy. I hope you were able to do something like that. Now, if you can get to 10 minutes on a daily basis, you can do that while you're driving to work. You can do that at any time, really. You get around a bunch of kids, they're going to want to do it. Once they get up, you know, a little younger, if they're below 5, they'll want to do it. Beyond that, it starts to get a little goofy. Maybe 7, but why not? Language of light. There's stuff happening. Wow. Well, that's going to send us into harmonics and overtones. So let's go to that particular one. Because some of the stuff that I started doing there was coming out through the idea of a harmonic and an overtone, which is... Harmonics are overtones, or overtones, form the sequence that sounds musically above the fundamental tone. Okay, as I sound this bell, for the most part, there's pretty much a fundamental tone there. In other words, it's a certain pitch. But when I hit that, hopefully you can hear the fundamental plus that little kind of wah, wah, wah sound higher up. That is part of the harmonic structure. Fascinating stuff. These are frequency elements that give the sound its timbre or identity that defines it as a unique instrument. It's why a violin sounds like a violin, and then an accordion sounds like an accordion. There are certain elements of their sound based upon the design itself that give certain characteristics to the harmonic structure. That is the vehicle by which the ear is able to then perceive what the instrument is. How is it that you can sit in an orchestra with 150 pieces there, all doing their thing, and in the middle of it you can pick out the violin section, you can pick out the violas, and you can even separate a really good violin from one that was a cheap one. You know, we have such capacity to discern, mainly because of the harmonics and overtones that are contained within the sound itself that emanates from that source. Our voice has a fundamental that is unique to each resonant being. In other words, each you and I have a fundamental frequency that helps to define how we sound and how we are in the world and how our voice is. Additionally, I left off the Lee on that. Additionally, there are a predictable series of overtones that can be sounded to expand the healing potential of our own voice. Usually we're used to hearing a single sound because we think it's just the fundamental and that's what we're used to hearing. But even as we start to tune in to the sound of the spoken voice that we have from inside, we start to hear that there's a lot more going on. We're going to play with that in just a moment. They have to do with the use of the three in-body resonance chambers, as well as the formation of your mouth, the placement of the tongue, the placement of the sound in the mouth, the breath, and the intention. Now, the classic representations of harmonic overtoning are the Tibetan monks with their multi-toned chants. That's a very weak approximation of that. And the Mongolian Tuvan singers, who have the high-pitched sounds of their on their nasal-sounding chants. And that is no approximation whatsoever. But these overtones have many healing potentials, for they are the true healing power contained in sound. According to Wayne Perry, in a book that I have called Sound Medicine, he says they are a vehicle for accessing inner portals, helixes, and grid points within the mind-body that lead us to accelerated healing and expanded human awareness. Thank you, Wayne. The harmonics can generate, repattern, align, and tune the frequencies of the body. They massage the body from the inside out by shattering energy blockages, much like Ella did with the glass. Ella Fitzgerald, when she shattered the glass, it was the harmonics and the pitch itself that caused that glass to expand and contract to the point that it couldn't hold its shape any longer. So the process of voicing multiple tones creates additional tones in the harmonic sequence. They change your brain waves and stimulate portions of your brain that can receive greater levels of frequency, reducing stress, enhancing memory, changing the cortex of the brain, growing new brain cells, teaching the brain to restore and replace weak, dormant, or missing frequencies, stimulating and enhancing functions of the immune system, slowing down respiration, heartbeat, and brainwave activity, improving the pulse and the flow of cerebrospinal fluid, creating new neural synaptic connections, regenerating body systems, and expanding consciousness and inner awareness, just to name a few of the things that harmonics and overtones can do. So what follows here are a series of exercises that can get us acquainted with making overtones. So just take a breath for a minute and relax. Because, again, we're going to make some sounds that are going to sound a little bit unusual if the family's sitting in the parlor with you. They may even sound unusual to you if you're sitting alone in a room because it's not what you're used to doing. Perhaps the last time you did things like this, well, the last time was probably a moment ago when you did Language of Light, but when you actually were, the other time was when you were an infant beginning to explore the vocal mechanism. Although some say it's about exploring, which I believe it is, it's also about communicating, and I think a lot was going on literally using the overtones and the language of light that is available to an infant to make contact across the dimensions, not having the language yet for the beings in which he or she is embedded. Why not use what you got, use what you know, and be in contact? That's an interesting thought that just popped in. Maybe there's some validity to that. So the idea here is we want to go ahead and work with the mouth. It's all in the mouth. Well, I said it's in the three chambers. Once again, you have your nasal chamber, then you have the throat where it's very strident, and then you have the body which holds the substance and the warmth and the foundation of the tone. And by engaging all three of those elements, you can be sounding in each of those to create three partial sounds that combine to make the overtone sound that you're making. So, for example, if I look strictly at the mouth, we're dealing with two things. One is the shape of the lips and the roundness of the chamber and how I use it. Even in slowing down words, I can begin to experience more clearly how the mouth and the lips form words. You know, have you ever been around someone who lost their voice box, their larynx, and basically they're using the vibrator there, and all they're doing is acting like they're speaking words, and the words are formed strictly by the actual shape of the chamber and also the placement of the tongue. And then if you hear someone who is either deaf, hard of hearing, or whatnot, they make sound because they can feel the vibration and they've learned to form that sound into certain words, but they're lacking certain elements. So it sounds very much like, I'm not going to hear you anymore. Because it really has a exaggerated focus in the way it sounds, and they're lacking the connection with all three of those chambers. So becoming aware of those chambers, becoming aware where the sound is placed in your mouth, the sound in the back has one sound, the sound in the middle has another, and the sound towards the front takes on a very clear and crisp sound. I hope you heard that. Way in the back, it's very... it's a swallowed kind of sound that's kind of thick, and in the middle it's kind of rounded, and then as you go to the front of the mask, and all I'm really doing is changing my focus between the front and the middle and the back. Yeah, I'm making some adjustments in the mouth as well, but really it is about consciously choosing to be in each of those areas. So the same word or sound, a, all I did was move my awareness and a little bit of tongue placement from the back of the throat to the middle to the front. And then I actually changed the timbre or the sound of that sound. And as it got towards the end there with the sound at the lips, a, with my awareness right at my lips, I began to start to hear harmonics that were on it. In other words, there's a fundamental tone and then another tone above it, another tone or two. And now the other thing that works with it is the placement of the tongue. A, so all I'm doing there, and it's hard to do because I'm so we're so used to speaking in a certain way, by just changing the placement of the tongue and moving it towards the back or moving it towards the front, lifting it up, curling it, doing all of that, we begin to experience how we actually can begin to make an expansive sound as opposed to a fundamental, this is my voice tone, sound. So I'm hearing about four different things going on there. I hear something down low in my belly. I feel something really tight in my throat. There's something just at the roof of the mouth that's going on. And then I finally, at the end, brought in something really nasally, which just opened up the nasal channel that allowed some of the higher harmonics to come in. So that's kind of an approximation of that. So let's go ahead and actually skip the vowel sounds for a moment, skip the consonants, and then move down to the word you. So if we slow down and exaggerate the way we say you, then we can begin to hear within us some of the harmonic overtones based on the on top of the fundamental. So it's like this. So if you speed that up a little bit, you begin to hear. Boy, I just got an all-just day just from that. Boy, it's so easy to go there these days. Now, even as I'm doing it, I'm changing the tightness of the lips, the shape of the lips, the shape of the inside of the mouth, the placement of the tongue, just slowing it down, just seeing where I can work with and send that sound. Keep working on that. You. Well, at the end there, that was the most profound awareness of the harmonics that I've had yet so far. The ooey, I can bring the bottom, I can bring my body into it, and then I got some substance underneath it, and it still found a way to maintain the harmonics on top by the placement of the tongue, by the placement of the mouth, and the constriction of the mouth chamber. And then remembering to bring in the nasal starts to bring a whole different experience with it. Okay, so let's go on to another one here. More R's are really good for using for bringing out harmonics. So we're going to go ahead, and it looks like there's two pronunciations. Again, they're very slow. Playing with it. At the end there, I'm bringing in the really the bass part of me. I just kind of drop down the awareness instead of more, and I made it more, and then I kept that foundation and then started working up at the top of the mouth. Wow. And then I'm getting a little kind of a percussive sound with my lips when I push them together and kind of pulsing out the M's. Take a break. I might be getting lightheaded on this. So you're beginning to see that there are certain phonetic sounds like the R and the E that really bring out the harmonics. Let's go down to ringing. See, all I'm doing is keeping the ging going in the back and then changing the shape of my mouth, rounding it to extending it out like an E. And then I brought in the bottom, and that gave me three tones right there. I got the one in the throat, one in the belly, and then one in the nasal. So let's work with that a little bit. There's the body, and the throat going, and now the nasal. Now I'm beginning to bring in where I have the jaw moving up and down at a fast pace to create kind of a vibrato sound, and that starts to work the harmonic a little more. So it sounds like we're kind of all just kind of off the deep end, just had enough, the day is just too much, so I've got to do my harmonic practice. I just want you to notice, and notice how you feel. There's a lot going on with what we're doing here. because what we're doing is impacting the cells and the body structure and the physical as well as the energetic bodies in a very potent and powerful way. The fundamental, anytime you make sound, anytime you pull sound from your body, what you're doing is you're releasing energy, you're releasing stress, you're releasing tension, you're letting the vocalization happen from woundings of the past that have been stored in the chakra territories. What begins to happen with the harmonics is they start to become the salve that brings the higher frequencies down to wash through that and to infiltrate it to bring us back to a higher place of balance. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. Okay, so let's sit that one down. Let's go to Atlantean and Tibetan and Chinese healing sounds. Ancient cultures have been a source of intentional sound for eons. Specific tones and phrases have been infused with meaning. Calling a panda is a wise choice. They feed and nourish your vibration, expanding you into your own greater awakening. Here are chants from the Atlantean cultures, Tibetan healing sounds, and Chinese healing sounds to call upon. So the Atlantean chants come from a fellow named Frank Alpert, and I believe I've referred to him before. Somewhere back in the early 80s, I stumbled upon some books that were, it was three books. This was a man who was living in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. He was already up in his years. And what he had done is to put together a series of these three books that are now out of print. And I really am grateful I got a copy of them back in the day. And in it, amongst other things, a whole lot of sacred geometry elements, a whole lot of elements of creations of sound or of form and light that were vibrationally supposed to be like focal points, like a magnifying glass, but they were made with light and they had all kinds of these very unusual shapes. And to put them together, to actually make them, I think somebody did that. But they also had a section in there with a whole bunch of these particular chants. There was no pronunciation guide, so I've had to kind of just play with them to the point that I find what feels correct in that moment. And that's not to say it's the be-all, end-all. So let's look at a few of these chants. And why would I use them? Well, why would you not? I mean, that's the question these days. If it's going to bring you an awareness and clear some old debris out or even inspire you or bring a higher vibration in, that's fair territory for all of us. Why not? But they have information about them, each one of these. And I put in 18 of them here, so we're obviously not going to go through all of those. But what it is going to do is to give us an idea of them. And on my the CDs I have about the chakras, I have an Atlantean chant on each. On the root chakra, I have the Ale Ou Faro. The Ale Ou Faro, Faro, Ale Ou Faro, Faro. Now that is one put to melody. They don't have to be in melody. But what begins to happen is when you put it in melody, it begins to impact the body in different ways. Now, you can take the melodies that I give, or you can make up your own. Ale-o-u, 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 ale-o-u. So there's all kinds of things you can do with these. It's about the sounds. It's about the energy underneath the sound of which it was infused upon creation of it. So the idea behind this is either to do it as I just did or to go ahead and slow everything down. When you slow things down, just the vibration is allowed to smooth and move through very, very precisely, but also as a wash. It's very interesting. Ah, chant stimulates the energy of the body meridians. Activation of unconscious memory patterns takes place and moves them from dominant to active expressions of knowledge. Whoa. Yay, Atlanteans. So you'll notice as I pronounce them, I am just connecting everything together. There is no pause. All the sounds just sort of weave into one another. Time. So I'm beginning to see even now, since we did harmonics, that everything that I'm doing, especially in that process, I'm starting to hear harmonics. And again, it's only attention. When you bring your awareness to things, you start to hear it as it really is. You start to hear what's beyond what you've been programmed or you've been you just done through repetition and paid attention to certain elements of your voice and your sound and what's going on. But now all we're doing is opening up awareness, and that's going to bring a lot of information into you. So let's put that to practice. Let's go down and do another one here. I love the bio. This chant creates a resonance that activates related brain centers to remove distorted energy flows between emotional and soul energies. Yes! Atlantis. Bio. Bio. Just treating it as if it's just one phrase, the bio, bio, putting it together in a normal voice. The other was to slow it down and run the harmonics on it. Both of them had potency to them. When I hear Atlantean chants, I'm thinking of the Wizard of Oz at the castle when they're trying to get in and all the soldiers were outside and they're going, Biorio, 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 Biorio. They could have just as easily been doing, Aleo. Ba-e-o, ale-o, ba-e-o. Why not? I wonder if they'd read the book. No, it was too soon, too early. Let's go down and do another one. It's totally different sort of feel. The Hajoha. These are the vibrations to call upon God's light to heal with the power of regeneration. It's associated with the 22nd ray, pearlized, white, and invoke this resonance during the healing process. Hajoha, 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 Hajoha. What an open sound that is. What a powerful thing that is. Hajoha. Makes me want to be coming from the Asian American, Asian, from that area. I don't even know what's correct. Hajoha. So I'll go from there. I'll make it, express it as if it's Japanese. Ha, jo, ha. Ha, jo, ha. Ha, jo, ha. ha, jewel, ha. And then I can change it to ha, jewel, ha, ha, jewel, ha, ha, jewel, ha, ha, jewel, ha, ha, jewel, ha. And I can stand it out with harmonics. Ha, jewel, ha. That's a little harder to do. Ha, jewel, ha. Ha, jewel, ha. Let's move down for another one. That one's just too fun. Yo-da. Number 10. These are the sound of the wounds. These are the wounds of the God within. I think that's supposed to be the sounds. Maybe we want to look that one up. The 10 and the 1, Yod in the Hebrew alphabet, these are chanted in conjunction with the 36th ray. I'm just taking what Frank said here, the perception of color. Use it for spiritual self-healing and refinement. Yo-ooda. Yo-ooda. Or is it Yo-ooda? Yo-ooda. And is this where they got Yoda? Yoda? No try, just do. Yoda. Yo-ooda. 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 Slowing it down, going yo-da. Yo-ooda. Boy, I get really nasally on my ahs there. Starting to sound like the Cowardly Lion. Shucks. Yo-da, yo-o-da, 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 yo-o-da. Okay, I'm forcing the da to open up instead of being a more compressed sound like the O. Yo-o-da, 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 yo-o-da. But you're starting to, I hope you're picking up that these sounds are moving all over the place. They're working the structure of the mouth. They're bringing vibration as it drops in. When the da drops in, it drops down into the body. Can you just get the flavor of what's going on here? Because there's such a potency. We got to move on. So let's move down to the Tibetan healing sounds. These are the five warrior syllables. They represent a quality of realization, and they are ah. Actually, these aren't even ah, om, hung, ram, za. We can voice them, or you can speak them with a whisper. The ah is associated with the third eyes and the changeless body. The om is associated with the throat and the quality of unceasing speech. Hung is associated with the heart and the undiluted mind. Ram associated with the navel chakra and ripened virtuous qualities. Za associated with the secret chakra. Now, I don't know what that one was, but spontaneous action. Za makes me want to say za all the time. Za, za. Za, za, just to see what the secret chakra is. Ah, om, hung, ram, za. So it says sing the five in sequence, focusing on a paired chakra as the paired chakra, the one it's aligned with, as well as the quality called forth. We're not going to be able to do that because we're not really familiar with them all. But let's just play with it for a few moments here. Ah, om, hung, ram, za. 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 All right, let's move on. These are so fun. It's Tai Chi Cho. I can actually teach Tai Chi Cho. I took a course on it and facilitate it. And these are accompanying with certain movements that go along with it. We're not able to do them over the phone, but at least we can say them. These are not voiced. They're kind of just plosive whisper. Oh, we were to practice him, you can see that the whole goes with the heart and has these particular qualities. If I'm working on heart energy, if I've got some dis-ease going on there, then a lot of is going to serve that vibration to begin to create a new frequency at the heart chakra. And if there's a spleen or stomach, if you've got self-image stuff, the if you slow it down and see what's going on as you just voice those, you know, with the whisper, you can really exaggerate and feel the movements within the body. All of that is working energy. All of that is working the silent vibration, if you will, but also the whispered and voiced sound. And it's like a TSU. For the liver, for anger, anything like that that's coming up. To the lungs. You see, when you close the mouth down and do it creates a stress for the lungs to push a little harder to push that energy out. So you can get stale air, you can get old debris out of there. I can see where that would be very helpful. You can see where the and then the last one, the chewy. For kidneys and vitality and direction, courage, willpower. It clears out fear. It also clears out being pissed off. So to go back to them all. You end with a threesome on that. And now we go to something from something called Kotodama. And this is a Japanese form of, it's called Do-In, and these are a series of sounds that's universally used in prehistoric times as the most basic and inspiring sounds for generating physical, mental, and spiritual activity in unified form. Well, of course they are. And these, basically, you can feel them from their experience of coming from the what used to be called the Orient, but it's the Far East. He, fu, mi, yo, yi, mu. That should be I dash mu. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto don chi ro. The idea is to get pretty fast with them. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. You see how that really works the diaphragm? So that solar plexus is really pushing and working, and everything below that in terms of the viscera are all being massaged and exercised. He fu mo yo mo, sorry. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. It's hard not to get into like a Bushido warrior. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. Just saying without all of that affectation. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo imu na ya koto mo chi ro. He fu mi yo na ya ko to mo chi ro. It's a little harder to express those out like that and extend them, but it's a cool thing to do. Another one, considered to have secret powerful influence to protect our life and to elevate our physical, mental, and spiritual quality. Amaterasu o omikami. 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 So you see, I just gave you a whole bunch of different ways to work with it. Play with these sounds, because regardless of what their meaning is, it's doing something that is in alignment to your frequency. It's calling for, your whole being is calling for these sounds to be used in the way that they will serve you the best. And the San San Jiu Lu Ba Ya Wu is the final Chinese healing mantra. San San Jiu Lu Ba Ya Wu. 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 The idea is to say it over a minute's time, and you start saying it so fast that it just sounds like a wash of sound. That's where the vibration heats up, and that ailment, whatever it is generic in terms of what it serves. You call upon it for that purpose. So we've got emotion, vocalized toning. We've got chants, mantras, intentional songs, seed songs, the power of vowels and consonants. Why sound? It's energetic and physical impact. We have positive and negative words. We have switch words. And that's all going to be happening next week. So, exhilarating, calming, relaxing, all of that at once. Alert, vibed up. This is a result of sacred sounds. You can see that they can be holy and they can pull us in as we slow them down and experience them in a meditative way, but you can also see how they activate and how they bring forth an energy that is vital and that is opening, and it expands the senses, it expands our connection with all things. What could be better? What could be better? Well, maybe a burrito right now. I don't know. But I'm delighted that you chose to be a part of tonight, and we are going to extend into next week because I just think this stuff is really useful and good. Now, choose one of them. Just commit right now. Choose one of them to use between now and then. If you want to use a bunch of them just to play and find the ones that will work, do it. Really, do it. Make a copy of, you know, print up this stuff in a form. You just transfer the pages to Word, and then you'll have one complete document there if you want to carry it with you. Or you just take the ones you want to work with. But play with them. The harmonics are incredibly important. Work with those things. The harmonics, the overtones. These Atlantean, Tibetan, Chinese sounds, potent stuff. Make your connection with nature and start working with nature and sound. And it's listening and receiving. Both are processes. Work with that. And God, do the language of light. Do the language of light. If the names of God and from the Kabbalah speak to you, then find one and play with it for the week. Start using it. Call in the frequency of what it is. But above all, use your voice, and use the voice that is solid in your body. Be aware and play with the various chambers, the resonance chambers of the nasal, of the throat, and of the body. Be aware of the placement of the tongue, working those harmonics, the way the shapes of the mouth. Start to feel how language is formed as you speak. This was not an easy thing to learn to do as young ones, to actually form and make these sounds. And this is why in so many cultures, some sounds, just because of their language, aren't used. And then when they're asked to go ahead and talk about and to use a different language, they just have no idea how to make those sounds. So, like, and you know, it's kind of a cliche, but to look at some of the Japanese or the Chinese or whatnot, they aren't able to make the R's very well. And then the guttural sound that happens in German and some of the other languages, the H, when we do a sa, head up, na, a lot of people are going, head up? What are you talking about, head up? I don't do that. So those guttural sounds we just don't use. But we're capable of doing them all. Because all the mechanisms and all the human beings, unless there's been some sort of discrepancy, are all equipped to make the infinite palette of sounds, if you will. So make those sounds through the week, and I know this is going to serve you. All right. So I'll stay on for just a moment or two, and then if anybody has a comment or question, and then we'll be back next week. I'll have information for you. I'll send the link out with the call. And some of these will be fleshed out, and some of them won't be actually fleshed out until next week. So there's plenty to work with. I'll put a few pictures in to make it pretty. Thank you so much for being a part of tonight. All right. Well, we're done. So next Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, Sacred Sounds, Part 2. Sleep well.